Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always good when God gives you confirmation about the message you're about to deliver. I've had the greatest confirmation. It was fantastic. I'm going, wow, it couldn't have been any better. Scripture message today is from James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I want you to take a look at the first few verses before I even get started, because I am just laughing up here this morning, okay? So, what it says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you fall into trials of many kinds. Welcome to your trial. Okay, you got your trial this morning. Okay, so James chapter 1. So this morning you've had your own little trial in the sense that some things didn't work the way that they were supposed to. And as you travel through life, you're going to have trials and tribulations that come upon you. And as you read this passage of Scripture, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Well, there are trials of many kinds. Some of us have tasted financial trials. You've gone through things, all of a sudden you didn't have the rent payment, or you didn't have enough money to take care of a bill, or you had a medical crisis, and all of a sudden you had bills that you couldn't deal with. Financial stuff shows up on us, and the older we get, the more financial comes in. Some of you have had health and physical deals. You've had something come upon you that you didn't quite plan or quite think was going to work. My wife has this goal to run a 3K with my daughter. And so my wife went out and she got to the gym and she started working on one of those treadmill things. And she came home and she couldn't walk. Basically, her Achilles decided that this was not what I'm planning on for you. And her Achilles swelled up and she couldn't run. And so even though she had these plans, this health issue has plagued her and she's not able to get to the place where she wanted to. Some of you are struggling in relationships. Relationships between friends or husbands and wives. And you struggle and you've got something going on and you're not sure why those pieces are happening in your lives. And you're looking at them going, what's going on here? Why is this such a struggle? And my daughter calls my wife on a regular basis. Anytime she has trouble with her husband, she calls my wife. So she called my wife this week and she was struggling with her husband because they had a bill that they missed. You know, one of those bills that, you know, gets on the table and you miss that bill. And all of a sudden the collection company calls and says, we want our $300. And they go, huh? Well, she had that happen at home. And she thought she gave it to him and he thought he gave it to her. And by the time they got done, the two of them were fighting over a $300 bill. Really? Well, it's because they want to buy a new house. And when you want to buy a new house, your credit has to be good, and you got to have all the stuff that works, and you got to, everything's got to be right. So they were all frustrated with each other, and so you get to call my wife. And my wife says, you need to call him and talk to him. And I said, I think I'll wait on this a little bit. I have a tendency to wait a little bit, see if things kind of worked out through themselves. Because, to be honest, the conversation I'm going to have with my son-in-law is this, how you doing? And he's going to go, I'm great. And I'm going to say, my wife asked me to call you. And he's going to go, why? And I said, because you're fighting with my daughter? And he's going to go, yeah. And then this is just not a fun conversation to have, okay? It's just not where I want to be. Do not want to have this conversation. And we all have these fights and relationships. We have these times. I've been married 28 years. I had a few battles with my sweetheart, which truly have. But we've kind of fought through them. Some of you are going to find persecution in your life. You're going to share Jesus and somebody's not going to be happy with you for what you shared. You're going to share that you go to church and they're going to say, what for? You're going to have these pieces that show up in your life. And some of you know people that have truly been persecuted. Truly. I mean, there's a difference between somebody saying, hey, you know, what, that God thing, and somebody saying, yeah, we'll just put you in jail for a little while. There's truly a difference between those things. And some of you may know people that have truly been persecuted for their faith. Some of us suffer with anxiety. Some of us suffer with depression. I'm going to tell you, it's never what happens to you in life. It's what you do with it. It is truly never what happens to you in life. It is what you do with it that truly matters. In the scripture here, it talks about to have pure joy in trials because it develops something in you. Consider it pure joy, brothers, because these are opportunities. We have opportunities to develop something in us. We have an opportunity to develop perseverance. Our gentleman persevered this morning. We actually got words on the screen, okay? This is a minor thing. But it's nice to be able to know the words, since I didn't know any of the words to the songs. Okay? I didn't. I don't know the words to these songs. But it was nice to be able to sing with you because the words showed up. But the only reason they showed up is because they persevered in fixing what was there. It was a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. They did what they needed to do to get to that place. Okay? Perseverance will increase your faith. When you work through a struggle, you work through something that's going on in your life, it'll give you faith in what you are able to do. It will make you more mature. Anybody here going to college? Anybody actually going to college? Not right now? Some of you? Okay, so I went to college. And before I became known to God, before I invited Jesus into my heart, I went to college. And I went to college with a mission. The mission that I had when I went to college was get a degree, get a wife, get two cars, a house, and kids. I wanted 12. Whatever it was, it didn't matter. I just wanted, that was the goal, right? So when I was in high school, the first computers that were PCs came out. They were called the TRS-80s. For anybody who was from that era, they were called the Trash 80s, okay? Because they had 16K, and then this thing came out, the PET computer, and the PET computer had 32K. Now imagine trying to program something with 16K, okay? That's what we're talking about. I was good at it. I was really good at 16K and 32K. I could program and BASIC, I could program in a couple languages, and I got a hold of the book that showed you how you could do the printer graphics. Okay, so most of you will never remember this, but dot matrix printers, okay? I got good at making documents on dot matrix printers. This is when I was 16 and 17. So I'm showing it to my teacher. My teacher's going, how did you do that? How did that happen? This is why I read the book. He said, well, teach the class. So I taught the class. So you think the guy who could program the TRS-80, the PET computer, could go to Rochester Institute of Technology and do really well in computers, right? No. I went to RIT. I got a 2.5 my first semester. Then I joined a fraternity, and I got a 1.3 my second semester. Not sure if those two are related, but they probably are related. So I went from not on probation to on probation. I got off probation. I went back on probation. I got it, and then all that stuff came down to I could not program well enough to succeed at RIT. Well, that's a moment of failure. It's just a moment of failure. And the question is, what are you going to do with that moment of failure? Okay, so I'm not making it in computers. What am I going to do? So I made a decision. I talked to my fraternity brothers, and I said, who's having fun in the program they're doing? And I found out that the packaging engineers were having a great time. They were enjoying themselves. They were doing good stuff. And I said, I'm in. And I became what they call a packaging engineer. Most of you are going, what the heck? What's a packaging engineer? Packaging engineer, you go out and buy a Coke, what's it come in? Bottle or can, right? It comes in some package, right? Okay. You buy some electronics, it comes in a box, it's got all that foam and all that stuff, and I'm going to tell you that it was designed so that it wouldn't break. Well, I became a packaging engineer. God knew what he was doing, I had no clue, because I didn't know God at the time. I became a packaging engineer, I got a degree, I got out of school, I had a job. Nobody else in my fraternity had a job. I had a job, I was working for Douglas Aircraft. But I persevered through that place. It took me 5 years to complete a four-year degree, but I persevered. And how God used it was interesting to me. Because the last year of college, I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Here I am, brand new Christian, going, wow, now I'm going to finish this degree. What am I going to do? And I went to work for Douglas Aircraft. When I got to Douglas Aircraft, I ended up being in a Southern Baptist church, First Southern Baptist Church of Buena Park. While I was there, God called me into ministry. He called me to be a youth pastor, and I began work as a volunteer youth pastor. I did it for 5 years in Buena Park. While I was there, I had to make a living because I did get the wife, and I did get a couple kids. I never did get the house. But I was on this path, and the path was to get into full-time ministry. So I ended up switching jobs. I ended up going from McDonnell Douglas. I went to Lockheed Martin. I went to Lockheed Martin. They gave me 15% more pay, and I said, that's great. But then God said, it's time. In my fifth year at Buena Park, God said, I want you to go to Lake Isabella, and I want you to be the youth pastor for this little church up there. Great place. I love it. I still love it. I love the town. I haven't been there for 15 years, but it's still a joy of my heart. The kids that were there are still a joy of my heart. I still have all that within me. But when I went there, I dropped 50% of my salary, which is quite the bite. And when you're living on a certain amount of salary and you lose 50% of it, everything changes, and now you're in a new town and all these things are there. Well, the company I was working for, Lockheed Martin, tried to hire somebody to replace me. Matter of fact, I tried to hire somebody to replace me for them. And the guy lasted 6 months. And they called me up while I was in Lake Isabella and said, would you work for us as a contract hire? And I went, what does that mean? That means we'll pay you $300 a day to come down. We'll give you a allowance for your car, and we'll try to do this in short a time as possible. Well, I'm going to tell you, for me, that was a godsend, because I wasn't making it financially. I wasn't making it. But this $300, there were two things that happened on Mondays for me for 4 years. I was going to seminary over in Brea at night, and I was working for Lockheed Martin during the day. So God prepared money for me to get by, and God prepared my education for me to get my degree. By the way, I know you're working on it. It took me 13 years. Okay. You've got an opportunity. Take that opportunity, okay? It shouldn't take 13 years. 13 years is a long time to be in seminary, okay? The reality is I was taking a class at a time. Every time, every Monday, I'd go down and take that class and did that. So life is going to bring to you some trials and tribulations. What you do with it makes a difference, not only in the when you're in it, but later on. Being in computer science, I would have had to continue to build my computer science for the rest of my life. I couldn't just kind of fade out when I got into ministry. But see, being a packaging engineer, it doesn't change much. I can still package aircraft parts. I can package them today. I haven't touched it in 30 years. But God pushed me to a place that worked very well for me in ministry. And I'm really grateful for what God did. That trial that I had, that tribulation that I had, that failure that I had, ended up being very good for me and with God. And I just encourage you. It's not what you're going through. It will definitely be how you get through it. It's what you do with your failures that's a big deal. It's in my failures that I have learned the true meaning of grace. It's in my failures that I have learned the true meaning of grace. When I've made a failure and somebody has given me forgiveness, when I've done something that I shouldn't have done and God has given me forgiveness, I've learned grace. And the older I get, the more I understand grace. And I will tell you that that is a big word when it comes to maturity. When you get to the place where you're mature, you recognize that forgiveness is a big deal. It's a massive deal. Share one other story about grace for me. My dad and mom divorced when I was two. I may have told some of you this. I probably have along the way, but my mom and dad divorced when I was two. Basically, my dad left. and never really contacted me. I did on occasion go see him and spend time with him. But 2 years ago, I hadn't seen my dad for 15 years. My son had never seen my father, ever. And I decided, because it sat in my position inside of me, that I really needed to honor my dad and I needed to go see him. So I took a plane and took my son and drove to North Carolina, and that's where he lived. And we spent a couple days with my dad and talked with him and shared with him and spent time with him. My son got to know who my father was. My son doesn't like my dad. That's okay. He doesn't. There's just some things that my dad is. But something happened 2 weeks ago that hasn't ever happened. We went 2 years ago. 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from my father. I'm 53 years old. I have never had a phone call from my father. And I'm going to tell you, when the phone came, you get to see who calls you, and it says, Dad, I'm going, did he die? What's wrong? That's before I answer the phone. What's wrong? What's going on? And my dad said to me, I just needed to talk to you. And I was like, okay, let's talk. And I spent an hour on my phone with my dad in a conversation, and it was really cool. But you have to have a maturity to make the effort to go do something that you're not going to get rewarded for. See, I hadn't talked to my dad in 15 years, not because I hadn't talked to him, but because I had tried to talk to him and he moved. He was in Florida, then he moved to North Carolina. He just never gave me the forwarding address. So for 15 years, I sent Christmas presents to Florida. I don't know who got them, but I sent them there. And then his daughter contacted me, and I ended up connecting back. But the reality is, perseverance here is what has begun to fix a relationship that was severely broken because of what happened. The maturer you get, the more you see grace is a big deal. So when Jesus had that woman caught in adultery, he said, you who have not sinned, throw the first stone. Who left first? The older ones. Because they understood the concept. They understood the concept of grace. And they understood what perseverance through life meant. And this piece is a big deal. So as you grapple with trials and tribulations, understand that as you drive through them, as you persevere through them, you're going to gain a maturity that you can't gain any other way. It's something that is a big deal. By the way, Thomas Edison. Anybody know Thomas Edison? No, you may not know him personally, but he made the light bulb. Do you know that? Yeah, do you know how many failures he had to go through? It was 1,000. 1,000 times he lit that puppy and it lit and it blew up. Are you ready to go through 1,000 failures to get to the place where you have success? Are you ready to go through 1,000 disappointments to get to the place where you have success? Are you willing to walk through relationships and be able to forgive somebody 7 times 70? Are you ready for that? You have that maturity within you, because that's what the scripture is talking about. It's having this maturity piece built into us where we look at forgiveness easily. I want to continue with another passage here in this James chapter 1, and it's probably even better. So James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, any of you lacks what? Good word. Wisdom is a good word. He should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Not knowledge, but wisdom. There's a massive difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, there's a script. This isn't scripture. This is a saying. Well, it might be scripture. I can't remember. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. It is better to Be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Wisdom lives in this place. Wisdom lives in the place that we do this. Verse 19 of James chapter 1 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So wisdom lives in this place where we kind of curtail what we say, and we kind of wait a little bit, and we have patience. Wisdom is more than knowledge. I can know a lot and still be a fool. I can know a ton and still be a fool. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but not have love, I am nothing. You remember that from 1 Corinthians? You can know all mysteries. You can know it all. But if you have not love, you are nothing. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. We got a lot of people with a whole lot of knowledge that say that there is no God. And for me, wisdom begins with the knowledge of God. I had you read a passage in Proverbs, but I want to share another one in Proverbs, because when you're looking for wisdom, you need to find a place to go find it. In Proverbs chapter 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words and insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. There's more there. But pop over to Proverbs 2, which you read earlier today. Proverbs chapter 2 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying it to your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. This passage in James says that we need to search out wisdom. It's more than knowledge. I can know a lot and still be a fool. I can look at things and understand things and not really have wisdom. And Psalm 53 was the verse that says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But also remember that Jesus said, beware the yeast of the Pharisees. See, you can find people who have knowledge outside of church and no wisdom. You can also find people in church that have knowledge and yet do not have wisdom. See, wisdom is something you have to work for. It is something you have to go find. It is something you have to dig for. It's something you have to gain some maturity for. It is humble. Wisdom is humble, yet it requires submissiveness. Wisdom is a humble trait, but you have to be submissive to wisdom to gain that. It is not selfish. It is not. It is not selfish. It is not a liar. Wisdom is truthful. It does not respect race or gender or class. Wisdom doesn't care who you are. Wisdom is not about you. Wisdom is something you seek. You must find it. It is not looking for you. It doesn't have a number of likes or a number of followers. Wisdom is something that you must seek out and something that you must go find. And it's found a little at a time. Wisdom requires faith, and you must trust it. Search for wisdom. Spend some time looking for it. Find people who are wise.
Most truly wise people will never tell you they are. Most truly wise people will never tell you that they are. And they won't tell you they are because they understand they haven't got it all yet. And they understand that wisdom comes from just waiting.
Passage of James continues. It continues with verses 9 through 12. And this is all about position. In verse 9, it says, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. If you don't have anything, but you're in God, you have something amazing. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. He should have knelt before Jesus. He should have come humbly before God, and he should revel in that, not in what he owns. The one who is rich should take pride in his low position because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Can you name anyone who is famous in the year 1326? Can you give me the richest man in the year 1326? Can you give me the richest man in 1512? Can you give me the richest woman in 1850? Why? You can't do that? Does it honestly matter? Maybe a trivia pursuit. We'll get the game out and see if we've got the question, right? But the reality is, once you're gone, nobody cares. Because what you had is no longer with you anymore. Someone else will control what you have. And the only thing that will matter is, what is your standing before the Lord? It's the only thing that will matter. So all that money you have won't matter. The question will be, were you humble before God before you left? And see, the poor man who comes to Jesus already understands that he has the richest place to go to. Now, I look forward to heaven. Okay? I look forward to heaven for a lot of reasons. I got a lot of questions to ask God. Got a lot of questions I want to ask God. There are things that I want to know. There are pieces of Scripture that I want to understand better. There are things that I want to know what God's opinion was. But walking on the streets of gold sounds interesting to me. It just sounds interesting to me. This is the streets of gold. I want to see that. I want to walk on it. Seeing my brothers and sisters who were persecuted for the faith, I want to know what they went through. I want to talk to people who were missionaries to China and India and those other places. I want to talk to them. I want to know what they went through. I want to know what it's like to not have to worry about a paycheck. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to not having a bill. Because my bill's already paid. Jesus paid that bill for me in heaven. I'm looking forward to that day when I don't... See, my son's going to Berkeley right now. And I'm finishing summer school. I'm teaching summer school. I'm on my last 4 days. There's only one reason I'm teaching summer school. Do you know what it is? I got a $5,000 bill hanging out over here. It's $5,000. I have a car I'd like to spend it on. No. I'm looking for... My son wants to be a nuclear engineer. He wants to be an astrophysicist.
he has these nice, high, and lofty goals. Hopefully he does better than his father did. But regardless of how he does, he will always have a home to come home to, and I will always be proud of him. This passage speaks about that. When we come to know Jesus, no matter what happens along the way, we always have a place to go home to. We finish this with 13 through 15. By the way, there's so much in here. I started going, I'm going, I could go on forever here. But there's so much in here that you can read and take home and look at in James. James is this Christianity 101 book. It is the basics. Get into the basics. Love on the basics. And allow those basics to permeate your life. It's a big deal. Verse 13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But when one is tempted, when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. You're going to travel through tribulations. Some of those are going to be caused by yourself. Some of those are going to be caused by the devil. Whatever they are, persevere. Struggle through. Get to the place where you gain maturity. It may not be in the way that you imagine. Seek wisdom. Wisdom will help you understand what you're going through in your trials and tribulations. Always fall back that Jesus is your home. He is your home. Nothing on this earth is more important than that relationship that you have with him. And yeah, you're going to fall into some temptations you shouldn't fall into. But by God's grace, you have been given forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Enough said. Father God, I ask that you take these words, draw them into our hearts. Help us to remember the ones that matter for us. Help us the ones that will matter for us to other people. Help us to build relationships. Father, help us to gain maturity in our lives. Let those little tribulations, those big tribulations, be pathways to greater success. Lord, I love you. You are my God. I serve you with joy and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.